Greetings. Welcome to today's Present Truth program. I'm your host, Rick Rodriguez. Tuesday, June 23rd, 2026. Podcasts are archived on thispresenttruth.com. On the website, you have two sections, the Olive Tree and Lampstand Ministry section, and you also have This Present Truth programs. Today, I think that I will talk about James Earl Kennedy Carter, President Jimmy Carter. The American people really don't know history. We, in our high school years, we learn American history or world history, and we never get the truth. We're never told the truth. We don't know the truth. There was Joe Kennedy Sr., the father of John and Robert and Edward and the whole Kennedy clan. He employed a young girl. She was a secretary. And this would be, I don't know what year Jimmy was born. Let me think. I have a file on him, and I don't have it in front of me. As I sat down to do today's program, I wondered, with all that's happening, I figured I probably ought to begin to give a little history of the last seven presidents of the United States of America, beginning with Jimmy Carter. He was born in Plains, Georgia, 1924, October. His mother, Lillian Gordy, worked for Joe Kennedy, secretary again, and she got pregnant upon finding out that she was pregnant. She moved back to Plains, Georgia. And I have looked at the history. I believe that while she was just a young girl, I don't think she was 20. She moved back to Plains, and I believe she had been at some point earlier dating James Earl Kennedy Sr. And she married James Earl Carter Sr., Jimmy Carter's father. And then, I don't know, maybe half a year later or less than a half a year later, Jimmy Carter was born. James Earl Kennedy Carter Jr. Because I don't have all my research in front of me, I'm having to dig deep, trying to remember exactly what happened. And so little Jimmy was born in Plains, Georgia. Years later, the father, miraculously, he's just he didn't really come from wealth, but eventually he has acreage. Eventually he's a peanut farmer. Eventually he's successful. And with the children of very important people, it is believed that the Kennedys helped financially the father, James Earl Carter. And Jim, the president, was given the best education and eventually would, through his early career, begin his involvement in politics. Like his father, he would become a Democrat. Eventually, he would become the governor of Georgia. And graduated from the U.S. Naval Academy. He was a very brilliant individual. I think he had expertise in nuclear physics. He was brilliant. And like the Kennedy family, he was involved in the civil rights movement. He was, again, the governor, one of the first, what they called the New South governors, committed to desegregation. And then he announced his candidacy in 1976. And he secured that nomination. He wasn't really well known. He came out of nowhere. Well, his father, Joe Kennedy, played a part in the election of Jimmy Carter. Excuse me. His father didn't really play a part in his political career because Joe Kennedy had a stroke, I think, in 1963. I think he passed away in the late 60s. He had a stroke. He couldn't communicate any longer. Now, politically, the family that did have an interest in Jimmy Carter is, I'm telling the story from a different perspective. I have spoken of this, this individual, and I've always come from one direction. I'm going to come from kind of a back direction. What I mean by that is not only did Joe Kennedy, through the years, keep an eye on his son, but at the same time, the Rockefeller family, they were very, Nelson and David Rockefeller, they kept an eye on Jim Carter also. And they actually helped during his campaign, Carter's campaign for president in 1976. The Rockefeller family had an interest in Jimmy Carter because of the people that he knew. And not only that, but he was an individual that could be persuaded. And one thing that the Rockefellers envisioned was a trilateral commission. This was one objective. The second that would a very important matter that would take place during the Carter administration, along with the trilateral commission, would be the, actually, Carter was named to the Trilateral Commission in 1973 before he became president. So he was already part of the Rockefeller plan and was very active in that plan in the years to come. The partnership with the Trilateral Commission was nations out of Western Europe, United States, Canada, and also Japan. So these three regions, the family could basically control everything that would happen internationally in the financial world economically. Then Carter also, wasn't there when the petrodollar, that system was brought in, I think in about 1973-74 with Brzezinski and Kissinger, if I remember correctly, and Saudi Arabia. But Carter, through his administration, continued to strengthen the petrodollar system, used it actively. I'm just giving some highlights of once he became president, he I forgot that he had offered amnesty to all of the Vietnam draft dodgers. I forgot all about that. And then eventually he would, he was, so I almost forgot about that. Okay, I'm kind of catching some wind here, catching a flow. Now, what I mean by that is that, in my view, Jimmy Carter is the first of the final administrations, of the final eight administrations in the United States of America. My thought is from a view in Revelation chapter 17, verse 9, 10, and 11. Those verses speak of eight administrations, the eight final administrations of the United States of America. And in those eight administrations, the legitimate administrations, excluding Joe Biden, you will have seven individuals, and one of those seven will have the final eighth administration. It will not be Donald Trump. Donald Trump is the seventh administration. Jimmy Carter is the beginning of those seven final individuals in the eight administrations. May sound odd to you, but stick with me. I'm putting this back, putting this together as I go. I could have written a maybe point by point, but as I sat down, I thought, you know, this is important. I've been considering Jimmy Carter for quite a few years, for a long time, and I guess today is the day I'm going to begin with it. So Carter is part of a, he's being used by a Rockefeller plan. The Trilateral Commission to further that plan, Jimmy Carter conveniently was in place. Jimmy Carter was an individual that could be directed. He not so much a visionary as he was an individual that could put things together. The vision comes from the Rockefeller family. The way to put things together is through the presidents. Jimmy Carter was helping to put a Rockefeller view. Reagan the same, Bush Sr., Bill Clinton, Bill Rockefeller Clinton, Bush Jr., and Barry Satoro, a.k.a. Barack Obama. James Earl Kennedy Carter was, you might say, the beginning of a vision of the Rockefeller family for the future of the United States of America. I guess I could say it that way. The presidents don't have, other than Trump, don't have a view, don't have a vision like great families. They are the individuals who, you might say, they don't own a car. They're the chauffeur. They drive the vehicle. They take the vehicle to wherever the owner of the vehicle wants that car to. Bad example, just a simple example. Go to, you know, fill up the gas station, go here, go there, wherever, make this appointment, that appointment. That's what the presidents do. But those who actually own the vehicle give the direction. Carter was the individual who would begin to put everything together for the ruling people of this country. One of the first things Carter did is he created the Senior Executive Service. Senior Executive Service, let me just give you an insight into what it is. Carter hired an individual, brilliant girl by the name of Christine Marcy. She has a brother, Field McConnell. Some in the Patriot world might know the two names, especially Field McConnell. His sister, Christine Marcy. The brilliant, brilliant individual, a good friend of our old nemesis, Hillary Rodham Rockefeller Clinton, and Christine Marcy, she put together a service which brings in all government agencies and the people employed in all of these agencies, and with each agency, the plan is that the president is able to appoint his choices for any position within these agencies. The leader, the head of each agency, like let's use the Environmental Service, the president can pick someone who has never worked his way up in the environmental movement or the environmental agency. The president can pick anyone from anywhere, place him at the head of that agency. This would be true with any of the services throughout the country, whatever agency it may be, wouldn't matter, Parks and Recreation, etc. They can't be fired. They can be appointed. They can't be fired. Trump, when in his first term, who was it he tried to fire? A weasel. What was his name? Peter Strzok. I believe it was Peter Strzok that Trump fired, but because he was senior executive member, he couldn't be fired. And with these individuals, they keep their retirement. They can't be penalized. This is what Jimmy Carter did. And so with each administration, Reagan on all the way to Obama, the president can appoint individuals more of along the terms of political appointments rather than competent individuals that understand the bureau they're going to, you know, oversee. And when Barack Obama left office, I think he appointed across the board, I want to say around 7,000 appointees prior to Donald Trump becoming taking the presidency. So you can see what Jimmy Carter did. This was a great of great benefit for the Rockefellers, because they can use their tentacles to direct what continues to happen in Washington, D.C., at the Justice Department, with the Supreme Court. Jimmy Carter was the individual who began the roots of globalism were basic. We were already moving that direction. But with Jimmy Carter, now you could begin to nurture globalism within this country. One of the objectives of globalism which would occur during the next administration with Ronald Reagan, is you take all manufacturing industry off of American soil, you send it to China. So did Jimmy Carter understand this? He was a globalist. Jimmy Carter was a globalist. Eventually, he would begin negotiations with Israel and Egypt with the Camp David Accords. This was a Rockefeller objective. Now, in the last program, I talked about occult Zionism. The people who rule the world, the objective to globalism is not only to control the nations, but to have a center of that control. The center would be Israel. And so with Carter, by the Rockefeller family, the Rothschild family out of Europe, they couldn't, it would be too damaging to their future plans to have any escalation of war in the Middle East, especially with Egypt. Egypt had been, since the time of Israel becoming a nation, 1948, you had Egypt with King of Egypt, I can't think of his name right now, Nasser, always in conflict with Israel. Well, these families needed that conflict to de-escalate, to end. There's still going to be tension through the Muslim Brotherhood, through all of the terrorist organizations, but they didn't want Egypt, because at that time Egypt was heavily armed by Russia. Russia was deeply involved in everything that was happening in the Middle East, arming Egypt. They had intelligence, helping Egypt with intelligence. The United States needed to end that influence of Russia over Egypt. So, Jimmy Carter, trying to think of the name of the Egyptian president that was eventually assassinated. I think I remember Anwar Sadat, who was eventually assassinated. Another thing Kennedy did is where we are right now in this country is Carter. He claimed to be a Christian. He ran as a, you might say, a candidate for the Christian community. He was backed by quite a few, ran as a Baptist. He wasn't a genuine Christian in name, yes, but not in reality. But he was the first president to lift the ban on gay and lesbian personnel, and his administration became the first U.S. Administration to invite gay and lesbian rights activists to the White House to discuss foreign policy with regard to ending employment discrimination. Now, this was just the beginning of what we have presently. And each administration furthered the globalist plans in environmental protection, in energy, in the rights of women's rights, Jane Fonda with Women's Lib. Women's Lib, the move of women and the power that women would have through the women's rights movement really would accelerate like never before. There are pluses and minuses to that. Carter urged the 1978, he urged the voters in California to reject the Briggs Initiative, which would have barred or banned LGBTQ people from teaching public schools. And then in 2012, he said that the fact that Jesus never spoke about homosexuality was one of the reasons to support same-sex marriage in the United States. Well, Jimmy Carter was actually anti-Christ, anti-Bible, anti-laws of Moses. To a degree, he was a Judas Iscariot. Excuse me, a Judas Iscariot to the Christians. And Reagan would run basically on a Christian platform also. Same with George Sr. and Carter, Bill Rockefeller Clinton didn't as much, he didn't run on a Christian platform. George Jr. would eventually. Christ did warn to be careful you're not deceived. Well, the American evangelical Christianity, to a great part, has been deceived. The question is, did the Kennedy boys, the Kennedy children, did they know that Jimmy Carter was a half-brother? The answer is yes. Edward Kennedy despised Jimmy Carter. The reason is because Edward Kennedy was at one point, he felt would be put in a position to run for president of this country. But because of an accident, because he was a coward and he killed a young girl that he was dating on a date, it took him out of the, there was no question. He was even told, you'll never, by the Democratic Party, you'll never be president because of your action the night of ending up driving off of a bridge. So he was told he would never, ever, senator would be as high as he would ever go. And he resented that. He had a great hatred for Jimmy Carter. Did the other brothers know, John and Robert? Yes. The whole family knew. They kept it hidden forever, they thought. And Joe Kennedy, he didn't get to see his illegitimate child become president. Now, there's something I've touched on over the years that I think is important here. John Kennedy did something when he became president, when he was elected. For the Christian audience, you'll understand what I'm going to say, I hope. To those that are maybe non-Christian, non-religious, there are things that happen in the world where God has his hand. His hand is involved in everything that happens. But with the baby boom children, now, 1960, these children are 15, 14, 13 years of age. And John Kennedy, he knew that the Rockefeller family had discovered oil off the coast of Vietnam and the Gulf of Tonkin. And John Kennedy, I personally believe something happened to John Kennedy, something in his conscience. I think he had an awakening. His conscience took hold. Once he became president, something happened to him. I think at that time, in my view, he may have cried out to Christ for help. and Christ met him, because something would happen in the United States, which a term that some people understand is a move of the Holy Spirit, a baptism of the Holy Spirit upon a country, upon a nation. The best example, there was a move of the Holy Spirit in 1948 when Israel became a nation. It was the time, it was the perfect time, it was a season for the nation of Israel to exist once again after, what, 1800, 1900 years. Well, with the baby boom generation, with these young men here in this country, Kennedy, through his father was basically in the world of the very powerful people in this country, and most importantly, the Rockefeller family. And Kennedy, through all of his contacts, he always knew what the Rockefeller family was doing, not just in this country, but internationally. John Kennedy knew, through his father's intel, everything that was needed to not only run for president, become president with all of his father's contacts, but also to understand the whole field and everything that was happening in this country and industry, with the economics, with the war, coming war. And John knew about this. He knew that when this family found oil off the coast of Vietnam, going back and knowing the history of that family, wherever there was opportunity for mining, for oil, gas, that's just the nature of the Rockefeller family. They would be involved, and they would, through their political ties, they would move everything needed to internationally, with governments, be approved to drill, to mine, whatever it may be. Forest, you know, timber, you name it. Well, Kennedy knew that this Vietnam, he knew what was happening. There was going to be conflict in Vietnam off the coast because the Vietnamese, this was their oil, this was their reserves. And Kennedy knew that this family would not say no. No one could say no to the family, rather. And that those fields were going to be developed, regardless, one way or another. And Kennedy knew that if we, and there was already talk about war, about conflict. How did he know that? Henry Kissinger and different people that in the political, in that world of politics that his dad was deeply involved in. And he made a decision to not send American children to Vietnam. this was and would be a major conflict with that administration. Secondly, Kennedy wanted to put the dollar on the silver system, silver-backed dollars. This was going to be a conflict with the family. It was going to be a conflict with plans of this government in Washington, D.C. It was going to be a conflict with Federal Reserve, with oil companies, which for the most part were Rockefeller owned. And then on top of that, without getting too deep into what happened with John Kennedy, he had ties to his father, mafia. But mainly what I'm saying is he, because of the change that he had his conscience came alive. And I believe that God, the heavens were opened. And this is when the term the Jesus movement began. It began during John Kennedy's presidency. And the heavens were open. The Holy Spirit would pour his spirit out upon the youth of this country. Yeah, the elderly too, but especially upon the baby boom generation children. And God had a plan to bring thousands and thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of these individuals into his kingdom. And there was a 16-year period of time where the heavens over this country were open. And during that time, there were many things that would occur to bless the country through these children. Technology, computers, we had peace, we had, well, to some degree, but we had the best times in this country ever. We had the best music, the best industry. Financially, we moved forward quickly. Just overall, the best education for these young people, opportunities for college, university, for innovation. And it was a blessed 16-year period of time. Now, why did it end? In my view, as a minister, as a pastor, if you want to call me pastor, when Jimmy Carter was elected, the door shut. The heavens closed. There would be the beginning 7 people, presidents, that would rule over the final 8 administrations of America. The final administration is coming. After Donald Trump is removed from office, the final administration will take place. Jimmy Carter was the beginning of a great move by very powerful people in this country and abroad in Europe. The objective, world, total world hegemony. Hegemony ruling land masses. Hegemony ruling via not only military power, but through technology and economically, through economics, through finance. I have to include witchcraft. When I say witchcraft, I mean through occult power. And one of the nations that has some of the most powerful occult, I would just call it the most powerful witchcraft in mankind's history, will eventually rule over the world to a great degree via the next administration. We as a nation are steeped in the occult practices. People don't believe that. It's becoming more and more evident all the time. Each of these individuals, from Carter all the way to Barry Satoro, or have all been involved in witchcraft, have all been involved in secret societies, Jimmy Carter included. Years ago, I heard on radio here out of Colorado that it was known in Plains, Georgia, that Jimmy Carter's mother was a witch. She was involved in witchcraft. I think I have the documentation somewhere. Lillian Gordy. And it was, I'd read that Jimmy Carter, at some point when he was young, had some mental problems where he had to see a psychiatrist. The clinic burned to the ground. All the documentation is gone. But he had mental health problems of some kind. So all of these six presidents, excluding Trump, were members of generally Freemasonry, Illuminati, Skull and Bones, Barry Satoro, Freemasonry. Carter was, I don't know, I can't find any actual, other than the people he was involved with, the people that he was surrounded with, were definitely involved in the secret societies. Again, he was an individual that was good at doing what he was asked to do. He had that kind of a personality. As far as a Christian, his religion was that of the social gospel. In other words, do good. Eternal life comes through your deeds. If you're a good person, God will see that and recognize that that gives you a pass into eternity. He picked up the British socialism, the British social gospel. So in other words, it's not faith, it is not salvation by faith, it's salvation through deeds, being a good person, which he did his whole life. He was involved in humanitarian matters, you know, helping the poor, building houses, etc. Social gospel, but not by faith. So when he became president, as I look back and study what happened to the especially evangelical churches in America, there was an interesting development that occurred. Many of the ministries prior to that time were basically based on, to a great degree, the growth of the individual in their Christian walk. And it was more of an inner life, a relationship with Christ that was real. But after Carter became president, there was, as I say, I view, the heavens were closed. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, you might say, was the door was closed spiritually. Now you have many millions of young people that are Christians that are born again. But what occurred was a new thinking. The thinking wasn't Christian growth, spiritual growth. It was building small or beginning to build small empires. And you have a trend now where you start to have big ministries like Jan and Paul Crouch, Jim and Tammy Baker, and it just went on for the last, you know, from the 70s to the present, where you have membership, 15,000, 20,000, 25,000 people. It's not growth. It is numbers. It is not the reality of who Christ is, it's having big palaces and having a name. It's called simply apostasy, departing from reality, apostasy, a move to vanity, not reality. It is a taking a direction that is unprofitable, that is wide, that is not narrow, that a path that is crooked. You're going back and forth, and going nowhere quickly, when a direct line is the best way. I believe this is what Carter did. I believe that Carter began not only an apostasy in the Christian family, but I believe it began, you might say, a new direction with the presidents that would follow up to Donald Trump. And each president was furthering the objectives of the powerful people of the world rather than the desires of the people of this country. And what these people will do in the next few years in this country, they will do exactly what they've done in Europe. They've stripped the European people of their wealth. You can watch it. They're stripping Germany of the labor of the German people. The all the nations, England, the people of England, they're really going hungry because they need a roof over their head. And I'm being honest. Here, what was it, a month ago, Volkswagen lays off 50,000 employees, 50,000 people in this country. The mainstream news is not telling the American people the companies that are shutting down, the companies, the restaurants that are going out of business, the restaurants that are hurting, even Starbucks. There is exactly what Christ said would happen is happening. There are so many problems that have no solution. There isn't any way to recover from some of these cities that are losing companies that are shutting down. You go on unemployment. And from that point on, not only is your future bleak, it's devastating. Well, what's going to happen when Trump leaves? These people in this country, they want the objectives of what was put in place from Carter to Obama, Obama being the worst of all. And the people don't see it. The citizens of this country, most don't understand what has happened. It began with Jimmy Carter. And the Christian people were deceived. I voted for Carter, believing he was a Christian. Later to understand that he wasn't a Christian, he's a globalist, pushing globalist objectives. The matter of the Camp David Accords in 1979, this was to further occult Zionism in this country and in Europe and in Israel. These families that rule the world without Jerusalem, they know they could never rule the world. This is one of the ways in which they, their objective, and presently in the Middle East, Donald Trump is fulfilling what the Bible, what the prophets of Israel stated would happen. Eventually, Iran, for all of the evil and the direct assaults on the Jewish people, Iran would eventually be reduced to just a powerless country. It's going to happen. Russia, the same. Turkey, well, it's the same will happen with these countries. Eventually, once these people in the occult that rule America, that oversee this golden goose, they are going to rob, steal everything valuable in this country from the American people, take it offshore for their future plans, and this country is going to be gutted. The next administration at the end of its time will gut this country, will begin to gut it before it destroys it. It's in the Bible. That's why when you come to listen to these programs, I'll tell you the truth. I'll let you know what is coming so you can plan ahead. If you know what's coming, then you can adjust. If you don't know what's coming, it's like people that hear of a hurricane coming on the East Coast, they go through it every year. They know exactly what to do. They get down to wherever they get their water. If it's going to be severe, they take what they can. They bail 500 miles away. They plan ahead. Well, the people of this country, most even patriots, conservatives, don't realize what these previous six presidents have done to this country. The only one of the six, of the seven up to this point, Trump being number seven, they don't realize what Donald Trump has done, not only for America, but for the nations of the world. When he's gone, then people will appreciate what he did. But it's going to be too late. It'll be too late. I tell the audience what I see in the scripture to finish by saying that the only safe harbor, the only safe place, maybe not physically, but eternally, is Jesus Christ. To the Jewish people, Yeshua HaMashiach, your Savior, your Redeemer. He is the parachute that's going to keep mankind from a terrible fall that you can't recover from. Eternally, our life is brief. It's short. It's like snap your finger, its life is over. Mankind needs to begin to consider eternity. The people that work for the devil, the children of the devil, what you see the madness in this world is because of their hatred of God. That hatred of God equates, it produces something. It produces sin. And sin is what destroys a society, a family, a country, the world. the children of the devil. They have no compassion. They have no concern for anything or anyone else, nothing but themselves. And these people that have amassed this great power and wealth, they feel secure. And they should feel secure because this is the only security they're going to have. They better dig. They better dig deep. They better get their holes in the ground ready. Because what they have done is they have unleashed the wrath of God already. It won't catch them just yet, but it is coming. And they know it. And they feel that still they're going to find a way to evade, to dodge what is coming to them. They can't. In this country, it began with Jimmy Carter, 1976. God lifted his Holy Spirit up off of this country. Each president, it got worse. Sin became greater. People believed a lie. The Christian churches lost their authority, their power, became vain. I'm talking about evangelicals. It's happened with the Catholics, Lutherans, all of them, all main denominations in America are powerless. There are the few in these churches, denominations that still have overcome through the power that is in the name of God Jesus. They've overcome God Yeshua. The whole world, Germany this week, Japan, have now declared they're going to build their military, their armies again. This should be shocking to the listeners. They haven't had armies since World War II, but they've decided they have to rearm. They have to build their armies because they know what's coming. Who is the threat? Russia? No. The threat is the United States of America. The handwriting is on the wall and the nations see it. They see that the threat is not Donald Trump. The threat is the the unknown. The unknown. If you go out at night to camp, what's out in the dark, what's unknown, that's the threat. And there's kind of in the back of your head, in the back of your mind, you're a little uncomfortable because you don't know what's out there. Well, people don't know what will happen after Donald Trump is removed from office. Who's going to replace him? It won't be J.D. Vance. It won't be Marco Rubio. Who's it going to be? This is the fear of the unknown. What's coming is what people fear. And they in the back of their mind, they're not sure what the future holds. Well, I'm telling you, so you need to come back to the next program. Podcasts archived on thispresenttruth.com. Sorry, I keep losing my voice. thispresenttruth.com. Write me, Rick Rodriguez, P.O. Box 872, Longmont, Colorado, 80502. Support me. I need to stay on the, I need to continue with this ministry and with the program. So, the Lord Jesus be your peace. May he be your peace. May he be the one that you look to in the future. I'll return.